At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Our life.
you. You're wonderful. Thank you for that.
Hey, it's JD here, and welcome to That Night in Kingston, 9 years later, a live stream, a place for all of us to get together today and share some stories and some memories of that night in Kingston. I'm joined, as always, by my pal, Sarah J. Sarah J., how you doing?
I was doing fantastic until we watched that amazing montage of awesomeness that you laid upon us. I went the whole day without crying. Oh, I did so good. Sorry. And then I was just like, all right, we're doing it. It's happening now. So
yeah. Yeah.
But this is going to be a lot of fun. We have a lot of friends already waiting in the wings here to hang out with us, and it's going to be an awesome night. I'm really excited. It's going to be
a lot of fun. And if you're in the chat, tell us where you were that night in Kingston. So here we go. Let's introduce our friends. We've got Andrew from Orlando. Boom. Let's see who else we've got here. We've got Jeff from Vaughn, and we've got, you know what? I always call you Shireen, but I've never asked you. Is it with a Y sound or a hard I sound? No, we've got no audio. Oh, there you are.
Can you hear me now?
Here she is.
It's Shireen. You say it perfectly. Thank you.
Oh, good. All right. Well, here we are gathered with some friends. Oh, did Andrew leave? He did. Okay, we're gathered with some friends here, people that are part of membership, which is just a fantastic group. We've got a group chat going. A lot of them join us on this, our Sunday evening jam or a show like this. So, you know, maybe consider that if you're, you know, in the market to get rid of some of your money, which, of course, we all are. Hey, Jeff. Vaughn,
yo,
how's it going, man?
Everything is going pretty good over here tonight, thanks. Yeah.
And Shireen, you? Shireen in Sacramento?
I'm pretty good. Having a little bit of technical issues, so I'll do my best.
Sure.
All right.
So I'm going to ask you the same thing that I asked the chat. Where were you? At 8 o'clock on August 20th, 2016. Shireen?
So I was in Sacramento. My sister and her boyfriend had driven down from Vancouver, not to watch the show with us, but it was really cool that they got to. And we sat on the couch. We made bets on what the first song was going to be. We cried. We just enjoyed it, and it was a lot. It was it. That was it. It was hard.
Sarah J.,
I want to hear all of Jeff's stories. If anybody has heard my podcast episode, they know my timeline during that time period. So I was kind of absent from everything at that time and didn't really digest any of it until later on. So I just completely dismissed it at the time because it was too much for everything that I was experiencing from all my stuff with my dad and everything. So if you listen to my episode with Darren at the tail end of part two, I really like dig into all that. So you'll find my answer in there. So
sending us on a hunt, eh?
Well, we're going to get to both Jeff and Andrew in a moment. They were stage right and stage left, so they're going to have a lot of different perspectives. what we're going to do first, though, is I'm going to share something I've never shared before. And it is shitty, and I really thought about it a lot today because I sort of felt shitty today because of everything. You know, it was a pretty heavy day. I had therapy today, and then, you know, this was coming out, assembling the gig of the This Day in Hipstery. There was just a lot on my mind, and I'm sure it was that way for everybody. But when I think back to 2016, I think of the first half of that year, or the second third of that year, spending 12 weeks in a psychiatric hospital. And I got out of my second stint just in time for the show in Toronto that I saw. And I can tell you that although I have experiential memories of that night, I have no recollection. And it's the same with the last show, and I haven't watched it again. So for me, this is a really heavy day, and I can't wait to watch the show. And I invite everybody. I've got an apparatus that allows people to watch it in synchronicity and chat. It's called SciTube. I can send the link out to anybody who wants to do that, because that's something that I intend on doing tomorrow. So I just had to get that off my chest. Like I said, it wasn't something I've ever shared before, but it really dawned on me today. So let's let Sarah J and I stop killing the buzz here, and let's let's get to Heckle and Jekyll over here, who were fucking
thank you for sharing that, though. We love you. Thank you. That was so brave of you. I just wanted to, like, not gloss over that moment. Like, I just want to send you so much love. And
yeah,
that was so brave of you to share. So
that's good to let that out. Take a deep breath and let Andrew and I talk about the show. And you can just soak it in.
Totally. Yeah, that's what I want to do.
Totally.
So let's hear it, fellas.
Yeah, what are the chances you got two guys that were hanging onto the rail in the front row at the last show?
I love it.
It's absolutely... It's got to be perfect. One in a zillion, you know?
What were we, like 20 seats apart?
I was right in front of Bobby, right in front of Rob. So, and that the camera was there quite a bit in front of me. That's why I never ended up in the actual concert footage, because I was so close to one of the cameras. Like, it was always shooting over my head or
it would have just been a full screen of your head. Yeah.
You can see the back of my head so many times.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, you were more center than me, but that was quite an experience. That's for sure.
So you were in front of Robbie and Andrew. Where were you?
Right in front of Gord. Like just left the center. So
wow. You got sweated on, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what is your I don't want to say your most favorite, because it's ridiculous. You can't rank this stuff. But what is the most prominent memory you have of that night, Jeff from Vaughn?
Wow. Yeah, I mean there's quite a few that stand out, and there's moments that are gone a bit blank because of the moment that it was, right?
Sure.
It's almost one of those things when you try so hard to soak it all in, you end up kind of, you know, pushing it away. But, and I had gone to five shows leading up to the Kingston show. So of the seven Ontario shows, I did six. I only
skipped Friday. Which one did you miss?
I skipped Ottawa.
Ah.
So, yeah, I mean, to get front row, and I didn't, you know, it wasn't a scalper thing. It was just the concert gods and the hip gods. Like, I log in and what do you know, like front row shows up. I remember buying them that day and I just kind of almost shook my head like one more time.
Love it.
Because I can't tell you how many out of my 90 some shows I was on the rail or like in the front row, like a lot of them, I'd say close to 50%. So my most memorable moment I shared in the membership chat earlier on, it really was the first song that there was a buildup because we were there all day walking around the streets, going by the Copper Penny, seeing everybody with signs, signing the walls, taking pictures of people's shirts and hotel rooms with signs, all kinds of stuff like that. And so, yeah, by the time you get in there, and I filmed myself walking up to the front, you know, my buddies were in the fourth row and I knew other guys over close to Andrew. And I remember the killer whale, the blow up killer whale was kind of floating yeah. around. I think there was an impromptu, Oh Canada.
Yeah. They had that, huge flag. They did around.
Yeah. There was a big flag being passed around and, you know, of course, Oh Canada kicked in and it just, you could feel the electricity rising. And then they walked out and, you know, waved and nodded and all that. And I don't remember the exact details. All I know is they kicked into 50 Mission Cap, which was a little, I was a little surprised that they opened up with it, but I didn't last 5 seconds and I was bawling. I broke down.
Damn.
It was heavy, really heavy.
Not bad. Yeah.
More so than when Gord passed. For me, that show, you know, after going to so many, you're kind of there and you're not, you know, this is it. It's not like, well, maybe they'll tour. It, you know, this is it.
Yeah.
This is it. And anyways, after that first 50 Mission Cap finished, you know, we settled in and, you know, I still did what I normally do. I got some pictures in. I think I filmed Lake Fever, maybe one or two other ones, even though I knew they were making, I wanted a couple from my angle.
Right.
And yeah, I just soaked it in with, I was there with a really good buddy who I'd seen probably dozens and dozens of hip shows with. Another guy, my friend was three rows behind me. He wore a head cam. This little thing that's made for hockey players back then. And he wore really? The thing the whole show. He's got, yeah, I should share the files sometime. It's really that's funny.
Amazing.
Yeah. And he sent it. He sent all the files to the guys when they were making the documentary and all that. And
wow.
That's fun.
Yeah. It was a long day, heavy show, hanging out afterwards. I think we hit a bar after and then we started heading home. And this guy told me, this concert guy, friend of mine told me, he says, stop by, he goes, my place if you want. You can get I got one of the backstage passes. And I thought, oh, like I know this guy, he's a bit of a storyteller, but knowing him, he had them. But we wanted to get home. It was 4 or 5 in the morning. And I thought I'll get it the next day. And then I think I contacted him a few days or a week later and he sold it or gave it to somebody else.
Oh, man.
But yeah. Yeah.
Andrew, regale us with your tales.
The whole day is just kind of a blur. Like I'm reading through the review I wrote. I have it from the Hip Base. Everybody was posting reviews after the shows and
yeah.
It's long. So I won't drown you with it, but it was just wild. I worked all day, 12-hour day, flew into Buffalo, drove to Watertown and crashed there. And then I had plans to meet up with people and see people and do a bunch of stuff in town the next day. And I just didn't. I took the ferry across and just kind of hung out. I got into the venue a little early and really just sat there and sat through the whole show. I ran into the prime minister walking around town and introduced myself, but I didn't know who he was. I just thought it was a celebrity. Like, I'm the prime minister. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm from the US. So it was just a random, there's just a ton of cool random stuff like that. My son really wanted to go, but he was too little. But he watched live on some like pirated stream. It was broadcast in Canada, but not in the States. So he was watching live down in Florida, and he, you know, I get a text message. He saw me on the on TV, which was pretty cool. It was my daughter's birthday, first birthday. So taking a cross country trip on her first birthday was negotiated, I'll say, but it was a trip that was worth it. The show itself was
Were you in trouble? Totally. Yeah, a little bit. Whatever
little bit, yeah.
Questions were, it was worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, I told her today because it's her birthday today, obviously. And I was like, I think I made the right call. And she's like, yeah, it's fine. I wouldn't have remembered anyway. I was like, all right. So
see, that those are the moments that you know, like that you are, you've done well as a parent. They get it. Right. They understand.
Andrew, were you solo on this show, or you had?
Yep. Nope. I was by myself.
Nice.
I bought the ticket. I got that front row ticket about a week after they went on sale. So I was looking at dates, and back then it was a lot of the scalpers, a lot of bots were just starting, and that was a newer thing.
Yeah.
And it was a big deal to try to get tickets. Any tickets at that time with Ticketmaster that weren't purchased or the payment failed, they didn't go back on sale immediately. They put them back into a queue, and then they re-released them the following Thursday. And then any tickets that were on hold back for the band or for, you know, promotions or for the venues would go on sale three Thursdays after if they decided to sell them. So part of getting tickets for shows was always knowing when the re-releases were.
Yeah.
And I got my front row ticket at sticker price, no premium upgrade, no crazy pricing for the week after. And I had bought tickets to another show. I just sold them right away and changed my plans for Kingston.
I guess.
So, that's beautiful.
That's amazing.
Incidentally, what was the other show?
I wrote down Hamilton, but I don't think that's right. I think it was Ottawa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I wanted Toronto, but it just wasn't going to work with dates. So.
Yeah.
Gosh. For Toronto, sorry. I was just going to say for Toronto, I got really lucky. I had a friend at the time. My son played hockey with his son, and this guy was a corporate person who had season's tickets to the ACC, and that meant for concerts, sports, you name it. And he had given me previous concerts to tickets to, like, I don't know, Judas Priest or Ozzy or some really heavier stuff that he just wasn't interested in. So when the Hip announced their tour, I wrote him like a 3-page text and told him my story of how many times I've seen the band and what it would mean to me if he's not going to use his 4 tickets that I would love. And it would be very tough individually for me to bring my whole family, me, my wife, and my 2 kids at the time who had already seen the Hip, and it was the first show. And all he answered was, he says, that's a crazy story. The tickets are yours. So the first night we had 4 seats in the lower bowl, and it was my entire family.
Oh, that was wonderful.
That was a heavy show.
I bet. What a great experience.
That's really special, though.
Yeah. Like, that would have been my daughter's maybe 6th or 7th, maybe 7th show, because I got her going early at about age 11 or 12. My son had been to only a Gord Downie solo. I don't think I had him to a Hip show, but just to see them there with, like, you know, with my wife and singing along, incidentally, to 50 Mission Cap, of course. Yeah, like that. If you think about what the ticket prices even were back then, like 4 of them would have been quite a hefty number. It's interesting, Andrew, how you got your ticket the following week, because it was also known they were releasing tickets right before the shows. And so we were going and lining up, and that's how we ended up, because I think Toronto number 2, I did not, no, Toronto 2 and 3, I didn't have tickets. We went and lined up, got tickets both nights.
Yeah, they had held a bunch back.
At the box office?
Crazy. Yep, right at the box office. You just line up, and it was like old school.
Yep.
That's cool.
Wasn't really announced. Cool. It was kind of known in the the hardcore crowd, or the hardcore concert-aholics, as I like to call them. But yeah, it was, those Toronto shows were something as well.
I love that, though. I love that.
Yeah. So JD, you said you've actually never seen the show.
Well, I mean, I watched it. I can tell you that I watched it. I can tell you where I sat in my house.
Yeah.
I can tell you who was in my house.
What you were saying is you have no recollection of the you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha.
And you've never watched the replay of it?
No, because it's frustrating, guys. It's really frustrating.
Yeah,
it's so frustrating to see things and then not remember them. Now, the show that I went to, Toronto Number 2, I went with my cousin, who is just a dear friend of mine. And I'm so grateful that we did get to go. But like I mentioned, same thing, you know? It was very experiential, but no solid record. I couldn't tell you what they opened with. How fun is that?
Mm-hmm. You're a Toronto Number 2?
Yeah. And that's why I didn't go. Like, I've berated myself for years. Why the fuck didn't you go to Kingston? Blah, blah. I didn't go to Kingston because I was a fucking train wreck.
Yeah, you weren't in the right zone at that point.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. It happens, though. It's all right. You're able to watch it, and you'll be able to absorb and digest it in the way that you can now. So, and that's okay.
Damn. Yeah. What a night. Yeah. What a night, though. The fact that 11 million Canadians, like, I can't even think of what the equivalent would be down south. Well, I guess it would be 10 times that. So it would be 111 million people watching something, which I guess the Super Bowl does close to that. But
it's not, I mean, you could say, but people aren't watching the Super Bowl. That's people that are tuned into it. They're not watching
parties or whatever.
It's not the same, you know, and by any means at all. So it's unfathomable. Just the people that were just so captivated by this moment in time. That's the part that
Craig
just
really
gets
me. Craig says that he wrote reviews of both, and I would like to invite Craig from Langley to join us here if he wants to share those. That would be really lovely. But let us know, Mr.
Yeah, I wrote a lot of reviews over the years, but I don't think I got one. I don't know about that show. I was so spent after that show for days.
Yeah, this is definitely a valid, where is my damn mouse? Yeah, I was just about to put that up too. That's definitely a valid point. I would agree that the Aussie farewell is definitely the only thing in recent history that relates to that for sure.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Interesting. And I know this is a show about the hip, but I really think it's interesting because had he died 30 years ago, I don't think there would have been the same, you know, like he was a heavy metal artist in the early 80s. He was seminal because of Black Sabbath, but then when he went solo, it was pretty heavy stuff for the time. And anyway, blah, blah, blah.
Well, but then became a reality TV star. Like, that's people that didn't even know, know Ozzy got exactly to know Ozzy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Absolutely.
And then he did "Mama, I'm Coming Home," and around the same time, and
yeah.
He became very lovable. Yeah. Back to our friends in the hip. I just wonder what was going through everyone's mind that night. You know, like, what could they possibly be thinking? Because every other gig, there is another gig after. Always.
Yeah, but
bands,
JD, it wasn't.
Bands don't get to be perfunctory. They don't get to say, we're done. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
But they never did. At that time, they weren't saying this is the last show and this is the last tour.
The implication was there.
They were also saying, they were saying, like, we'll see how it goes. There could be more. We're not saying it's done. And it seemed like during that time they were pushing back on the idea of it being the last show or the last tour.
I know, but then you watch Long Time Running and that debunks that, right? Like, it's like, clearly they were like ready to pull the plug at the earliest moment.
Yeah. It's weird how they publicly they were. I think they just didn't want that to be the sentiment of it. Maybe.
Yeah, I suppose.
I remember just publicly that's what was going on then. Like,
yeah.
During the tour, that was everybody's like, well, maybe there'll be a US leg. Maybe there'll be more dates after if it goes well. Because everything was, let's see how it goes.
That's interesting because I would say virtually everyone up here.
Yeah.
It was in their mind, embedded in their mind that this was it. That's
yeah.
It.
Yeah.
There was no, well, maybe there'll be, you know, another leg.
It was like more like courage for Gord and trying to stay positive in that. But
yeah,
we knew. I mean,
yeah, I think more towards the end of the tour. Yeah. But I think as they were like ramping it up and publicizing it and stuff, it seemed like they just didn't want to talk about it that way.
That's right. Yeah. And then did we know that Gord had a whole other thing planned after that, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the secret path. I mean, that just came out of left field and kind of.
What a trick to have up your sleeve, huh?
Blew a lot of us away. I was lucky enough to get a ticket to the show here in Toronto at Royal Thompson Hall. That was that was in a different category of live music performances. Like it was, it was way out there. Yeah, really heavy.
Mr. Jeff from Belleville has to say this, and I'm curious of this as well.
Huh.
I really wonder. Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My bet would be no on that.
I guess going back to my initial sentiment, which was that for them, there was always one more gig. They definitely knew, you know, when they were playing Ahead by a Century and winding it up, they all knew that was it. And that was my point, that the band knew that this was it. There's no gig afterwards. There's just no fucking gig afterwards. And if you've been doing this for 32 years, or 33 years, what the hell? Like, what the hell? What's next? Mm-hmm. It must have been the most fucked experience ever because you would be elated that you are on the national broadcaster of Canada and you are being shown coast to coast. You know that people are watching around the world. You don't know how they're watching, but you know they're watching. And at the same time, they've got that feeling, right? This is it. We're going to have to go through the door right now that reads civilian life. Odd. Just very odd.
Trying to catch up on these comments here. I'm like, trying to keep it together, just like listening and trying to keep it together.
Yeah. How? Yeah.
Being so there watching the show, one of the things I wrote in my review was like, you got a couple songs into it though, and it's almost like you forgot, at least me being there, it's almost like you forgot it was just another hip show. Like, and that I don't want to minimize it that way. Yeah. But once you're into it, you're going song to song, and then like, they kind of walk off the stage and you're like, oh yeah, that's right. And then it's the first encore and the second encore. Like, it was hard to kind of get wound up about it till really that last song. And when that last song came on, it was like just different. It just felt different. Everything was really heavy. You know, and I have a crazy story about that, but I don't know. It was just different. It really felt
shareable.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, well, please share it. Of course, we want to hear it.
All right.
You don't do the tease right like that.
No, I know, but I don't want to overtake. But I'll pull it up.
A tome? Is it a tome?
No, I got it. I have my review. Okay. This is the review I wrote, and I wrote it the next day. So this is just my thoughts from that day. And like, there's things I forgot about when I read back through it. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about all this.
Those are the best.
But that section, so I rose just from the middle of the reviews, the third encore. I started to feel the same dread I felt before, ahead by a century. Nobody really guessed that as a closer. Gord hit us with the delivery of a few lines and I started to be a mess. I'm not a crier or super emotional, but I looked miserable. I felt miserable. And then it kind of happened. So I've been to a lot of shows. I've met the guys a lot of times. I've had personal interactions or eye contact, gotten picks and set lists and had personal moments with them. Not know them in any way, but just familiar. But Gord delivers that line and the disappointing news getting me down. He puts the mic in the stand, turns it around to the crowd and just starts to dance a little bit. And I was lost. Like a big dork, I put my hand on my heart and I was like super sad. And I didn't try to hide it. And Gord looked at me, looks right at me and stops dancing and kind of does a little no head shake. And he smiles and start posing. He's doing like surprise looks and he'd turn around and jump back with a different pose and smiles. After two or three, I was laughing and I was just kind of hit with like, he's just performing. He's performing for different people in the crowd. He's doing what he normally does and interacting with people. You know, reading it back, I really thought I was crazy because I haven't gone back and watched the show until before my podcast episode, actually, because I was planning on telling that story during my episode. I just never really got to it. But he was just doing what he always did, which was putting on a big show. When I went back and watched it, I watched it happen. So I know I wasn't crazy. Like, I know it wasn't in my head. And maybe I imagined it was me and maybe it was somebody else. I don't know, but that's the way I took it. I was standing, you know, 7 feet from the guy and he just looked at me with my hand there, looking all sad and teary-eyed like an idiot and grown man and said, no, like, this is a show. We're having fun. And he was made faces and acted goofy and did what he always does. But I was the least important person there, like thousands of people there. The prime minister's there. I'm sure record people are there, all sorts of celebrities. And it took that 1 second of eye contact just to, that's what he did. But that's what he did every show I've ever seen him at, whether it was me or someone else, he just put on a show. And so it was kind of moving for me. You know, going back and watching it, I went back and watched it today in anticipation of tonight and like, it's there. So I don't know. It was emotional and I still haven't gone back and watched the whole show. I haven't seen it since I left. So I've just watched that last song, you know, that 2-3 times to confirm the thing I had in my head. Cause you know, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, no, you're crazy. This is insane. There's no way this is a true story, but
it happened.
It's there. You can see Gord, if you watch.
Gord always made really good eye contact at all of his shows, but obviously during that tour, if you watch any of the videos, he was doing an exaggerated version of how many people can I look in the eye during this show. Like genuinely he was doing it, but he got right into it. I mean, obviously at the end when he was saying goodbye and that, but during the show, like what he did with you, that was, he wanted to connect. He knew it was his last connection. So he wanted to connect in every city. Right. That's what I saw. So I've totally been in your situation before and
took it as this is the last time you're performing. This is the last song. And it just wasn't at all selfish. It was, he wanted to do that show and it was hard. He saw that I was sad and he's like, no, you can see him shake his head no and turn around and try to make you laugh. And until I laughed, he didn't stop. It was funny. It was different.
That's Gord the actor.
Yeah.
Doing his favorite thing. The family was over on the right-hand side, was on his right. And another moment I remember clearly, and you can see it in the video, Toronto Number 4 has always been one of my favorite songs. And I know it's one of his too, because it's kind of about his grandmother, but I know they did Toronto Number 4 during the Kingston show. And he looked over towards his family, but he messed up, one or two of the words. Like he just got them switched around because he took his eye off the monitor or whatever. And he made this little like fist, like, fuck, like almost like, okay, listen, you have no memory. You're supposed to mess up a little bit. That's like, we're expecting it. It's not a big deal, but it's almost like I didn't want to mess that song up though.
Yeah.
Like it was just, you know, and I never looked at, obviously, especially on this tour or any tour, I never really looked at any of that. It was never, he missed that word. I've seen Gord switch up stuff on purpose, and I've seen him switch stuff up because he doesn't remember. And then Paul looks over at him and gives him that little grin like, you're not even close there. Yeah, he always kind of, and he's actually, I remember him going to Paul numerous times over the years. And Paul lean in and say something in his ear. Oh yeah, okay, right. Maybe that was pre-monitor days. People don't realize how long those lyric monitors have been around for. Like it's not just
right.
The yeah. last 7-8 years, they've been around a long time. And I mean, REM was using them as far as I know years ago. I remember seeing a show where, I mean, all the groups use them now. I mean, it's pretty commonplace. Especially if you're expected to sing your hit from 42 years ago, right?
For sure. Yeah.
That's awesome, Andrew, that story. And I agree with Mojo. You do a solo trip from where you came from to get to the front yeah. row. Like,
geez. Literally, I was already crying. And then he had that comment. And I'm like, oh, okay, thanks. Like, guys, killing me.
And you're always better off, hey, Andrew, when you go for those single tickets. They always pop up a little bit easier.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, single tickets, you're always clutch with that. Everybody always wants a pair. So only needing one definitely served in your favor, for sure.
I remember my concert mentor years ago telling me that. He goes, you want to go to the show? He goes, yeah, let's pick up a couple singles. And I go, what are you talking about? He goes, watch what kind of tickets we can get, right? And then I know what happened for one show. You know, we're like a row apart or, you know, 10 seats apart. And like him and I are both, obviously, if you're into the music, you don't have to have somebody there to have a big conversation with. And that's right. When I got it. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. This is almost like a ticket secret that nobody knows about. Solo shows. Let's go.
Totally. Totally.
Well, folks, it's been great getting together and celebrating and commiserating and pontificating
and all those other great ing words.
Right. Crying. Yeah, there you go. We're going to leave from the same door that we walked in, and we're going to take another look at Ahead by a Century, a little composition that I put together to their... the band singing their last song that they would ever sing together. So let's do that. Thanks everybody for coming out. Pick up your shit.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This is our life. Thank you for that.